meeting is called to order. I ask our city clerk to please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown?
Here.
Tino? Dorothy Flanagan?
Here.
Sam Hill?
Here.
Dean Kilberg?
Here.
Greg Maladra?
Here.
Richard Marks?
Here.
Robert Piper?
Here.
Ron Singer?
Here.
Don Vogelsberg?
Here.
My apologies to the council and the folks present for our tardiness, but I was hanging out with PAC 111 Den 8 as part of their citizenship badge earning requirements. Look at how nicely they stand in the back of the room. You guys look like you're about to testify in front of the Senate. I have asked these gentlemen who have been with us for, what, about 45 minutes tonight? Is that right? They had good questions about the city, good questions about what the alderman and the mayor do, and we gave had a little tour of City Hall. We went down to my office. We prank phone called St. Charles. Awesome. DeWitt kept answering. Poor guy. And these gentlemen have agreed to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance tonight. Correct, gentlemen? So we're going to follow your lead. If you would like to step forward and lead us in the pledge, we'd be very honored. Straight ahead, gentlemen. We have Harrison Street School, Mill Creek School, and Fabian Elementary School represented this evening.
There you go.
And you guys, the flag is to your right now.
Way. Over there.
Now it's straight ahead. There you go.
American flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, gentlemen. Gentlemen, do you have any questions you want to ask prior to your departure? I know you guys have to head home and do homework and maybe call the Girl Scouts, woo, something like that. But are there any questions by any of you gentlemen tonight or any of your leaders?
I think we're good. Thank you.
We're good? Okay. Any questions for Kathy Malone? Nothing? Congratulations to the Badgers, by the way. Big victory. Our first order of business, item 3A, is to introduce Mary Brittany Schmitz. Is Mary with us this evening? She couldn't make it? Heck, we'll defer this excitement for another time. How's that? Item number, or letter B, presentation of Geneva Mental Health Annual Report and Fiscal Year 2011-2012 Funding Distributions. I would like to ask the chairman, Vicki Davidson-Bell, to please join us. And she arrived early tonight as well, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Wasn't that riveting with the scouts?
Oh, you're pretty good.
Yeah, well, you know. They're really not good enough. Four of them are still hanging out.
Much to their credit. thank you. The annual report for the 708 board has been submitted for your review. Tonight we would like to take the opportunity to present funding checks to the agencies that serve our community and allow have them introduce themselves to you and let you know what work they do for our community and appreciate the opportunity. the board consists of myself, Greg Torrance is my vice chair, John Ford is the secretary, Tim O'Neill, Candace Goldstein, Ralph Dantino, and Lisa Schottel. Candy and Lisa are here with me tonight, and they'll be helping me distribute the checks. If it's all right, I'd like to start calling up the agencies.
Absolutely. I think it'd be important as well, Vicki, if you'd like, or Madam Chairman, perhaps explain to those watching, and believe it or not, people watch, how this money is derived, and then how you as a board determine who receives what.
Certainly. We get a levy from the taxes that come into this the city, and we distribute those funds. We have an annual meeting in November where we have all the agencies come and present to us. Prior to that meeting, they submit information to us, financial information, information on the number of people that they serve in our community. We did make a point this year to make sure that people, that the numbers that they gave us were those that live within the, our city limits. So we try to be very careful to ascertain that this money is going to Geneva residents. And so they present to us, and the board does a discussion, and we determine what amount of funds we would like to give each agency. It's been a very tough few years for the agencies. They've been struggling quite a bit, and it's sorry to see that they're struggling as much as they have been, and we certainly appreciate all the good work that they do. So essentially, we determine the amount of funds, and for the last few years, been presenting the checks here at the City Hall.
Thank you very much.
All right, if I might call up the Association for Individual Development, Shea.
Now, a lot of these faces are familiar to the council, especially yours, Lynn.
Especially mine.
32,000.
How much?
32,000,
wow.
For which we are very, very grateful.
That's awesome.
AID has been serving the Geneva community for 50 years now. It's our 50th anniversary. We have been supporting 60 individuals from the city of Geneva in our various programs, including respite care, early intervention, housing, job training, and mental health services. We have 69 residents on our waiting list, and hopefully we will be able to serve those individuals in the future. We are also very grateful for the fabulous home, the group home over on South Street, courtesy of the City of Geneva, and the gentlemen there are thriving. We invite you to come by and visit and get to know the gentlemen a little bit better. And I think you will see that the city has put their funds to very good use. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Next, I'd like to call up CASA. Is CASA here?
Yeah.
$1,500. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Vicki Shaw from CASA Kane County. I'm pretty brand new with CASA. I've been there about a month. And I just wanted to say thank you very much. I know this funding will be very well used. It cost us about $1,600 to advocate for one child over the course of a year. And that might not sound like very much, you know, we're only helping one child, but you're really making a difference in that life that you are helping. And it does help with the CASA volunteer so that he or she can advocate for the child over the year. They go and they visit with the families, and they go visit with the children, and it's just so beneficial to that child and the family. So thank you very much.
And Ms. Shaw, you just had some new CASAs sworn in recently.
Yes, we just had 32.
32.
32 sworn in, so.
That's a pretty good class.
It is. We're very excited. We've been able to serve every child abuse case in Kane County.
Wonderful.
So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Geneva School District 304.
After 30 years, I still get nervous when Chick Williams walks anywhere toward me.
$10,750.
Thank you. As always, and it's been many years now, I think, since the beginning of the 708 process that we have been here and been able to accept monies that help us work with at-risk kids throughout the committee, or community, the entire community, families we are available to. And it's very nice to see some kids that I'm sure that, not because of my age necessarily, but because of the organization that they're in and the hard work that they do and the people that they have supporting them, I would hope that we will not have to see them in our office. Although we've got to remember as a community that none of us are immune, and that in our culture there are risks that our kids face that we didn't dream of facing. So we are very thankful to get this money. It does help us by helping us monitor kids and help parents out in that process. So thank you again.
Thank you, Mr. Williams.
Day One Network.
All the way from Fabian Parkway.
It was quite a trip.
Yeah, how was the commute over?
Hey, listen, it was wet. It's wet.
It's miserable out there, isn't it?
2,500.
At least it's not ice.
Yes, thank goodness.
I want to thank everyone in the Geneva community for giving us the opportunity to be part of and to accept this payment toward our services. Day One, if not, most of you know that we're an organization and we serve children with developmental delays and disabilities and adults as well. Sort of the front door to the system, that front door or system point of entry. Our mission is to help people find solutions and to make connections, as well as advocate for them at any stage of their life. We have two main areas. One is our 0-3 program, and in the community of Geneva, and that has seemed to grow. We served over 96 families and children. So that's a lot of little guys, and hoping that they will get off to the best start they can. And it's important that they get entered into that system as soon as possible so the social costs aren't there. So we've got some pretty strict processes that we go through, because that 0-3 time is pretty slim. So if we can get in early, hopefully we can get people off in the right path, and that family can begin their good road to helping that child, if it happens to be the rest of their life having to advocate for some serious disabilities, or perhaps we can see this child by the time they get mainstreamed in school can be as successful as any typical child is. We also serve as a system point of entry for what we call individuals where it's either children in need of home-based services or seeking those kinds of solutions and help, or perhaps getting on a waiting list, of which the state has this incredible waiting list of 22,000 people that have special needs that are waiting for services. Some of them are critical, some of them are emergency, but nevertheless, or a good number of, but and some are planning, but nevertheless, they exist and they're there. And those are the people we've really got to keep our eye on and on the radar screen. Those individuals in our area, and we have about 1,675 people who are in Kane and Kendall County and also in Hanover Township of Cook, who are on that PUNS list, that waiting list. So that, for our area and that small part of the country, is also a pretty huge number to make sure those people can get services. And in that particular program, all the way through adults, is we have about 37. So our total number for the Geneva area is about 133 people that we serve. And our total that we serve in our total area is about is over 3,100. So there's a large number. It doesn't seem to get smaller, but we certainly hope we can be there and be the advocates for those folks their lifelong to make sure they're not left out in the cold or don't have an opportunity to get services when there's no room at the inn. Thank you again, and we appreciate it, and we'll keep forging on and hope the dollars get better. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Easter Seals? Is Easter Seals here tonight? Andy, you're up next.
Thank you.
My check is for Ecker Center for $29,000.
Welcome back.
Thank you. We are extremely grateful for this grant, and it's very important to us because the state, as you know, is shrinking its support of mental health services. So our local funding is very important, and we're very grateful for this check and for checks you have provided to us in the past. It's going to allow us to do things like 24-hour crisis services, crisis residential services, case management, psychiatry and nursing, therapy, rehabilitation, and a range of residential programs. It will support all our programs for Geneva residents, for those people especially who are poor but don't have access to insurance, and insurance like Medicaid and things like that. So it's greatly, greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Elder Day Center, we have a check for $3,800.
My name is Tracy Eggleston. I'm the fairly new executive director at Elder Day Center, and I wanted to thank you all for your continued support of local seniors. It is through these funds that we're able to provide supervised day programming for at a lower cost for seniors to keep them in the community that they love and they've grown to support in a variety of ways. Additionally, we have seen in a very rough economic year, we've seen the need for services continue to rise. So more and more individuals are coming at lower income levels, and through these funds, we're able to provide additional assistance for them. We also are running, we've added an additional support group, so we're running 5 different support groups for caregivers in Kane County to support them in their role as their caregiver. So again, thank you for partnering with us.
Thank you.
Fox Valley Hospice is receiving $4,500.
I am Kathy Malone, Director of Development at Fox Valley Volunteer Hospice. I'd like to thank you very much for this grant. We are currently celebrating 30 years serving Geneva, housed right over on Kirk and Roosevelt in Geneva. And this money, as we've seen an increase in our services in this tough economy, we will definitely put this money towards our bereavement services. We've been serving Kane and Kendall County, and our hospice services are as strong as ever, but we've seen huge rises in our bereavement services, and especially serving children in these communities, and that's what this money will go for. So thank you very much for everything.
Thank you, Kathy.
Fox Valley Special Recreation is receiving $2,550.
I'm Carolyn Nagel, the Executive Director with Fox Valley Special Recreation. For those of you who may not be familiar, our organization is an extension of 7 Parks and Recreation districts and departments, going as far north as South Elgin, and as far south as the Aurora Oswego Land Park District area. We serve children and adults with disabilities, all sorts, all in all ability levels of those different challenges. And the primary purpose of the Geneva Mental Health Funding is to help us identify how we can support those individuals and meet their needs for social development and recreational needs. A big part of people with individuals who have disabilities, a good part of their life is a void when there may not be school in place for those who have finished the school system and for those who may not yet have the opportunity to have any type of employment. So the socialization and the recreation time is very important for them. We identify the different needs that they have through our outreach program, and then we also assist the involvement of those children who are enrolling in the Geneva Park District through inclusion services to be able to make their experience to be successful to recreate with those individuals without disabilities. And there are many, many different types of challenges coming to us to be able to make that placement successful, and the assistance of the Geneva Mental Health Board and the City of Geneva is going to help us do that. We're celebrating 35 years, and Geneva was one of our founding members, and we're looking to 35 more and beyond. So thank you for your support. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Haley's Playground is receiving $900.
Now, this is a new name to some of us.
Yes.
This is exciting.
My name is Jackie Olson. I'm president of Haley's Playground. We are a brand new organization. We've been open for 8 months, and we have 89 kids in our program, ages 2 to 30. This is a place where kids with disabilities can come, and they're stimulated through their sensory system. So we have everything from swings hanging from ceilings and climbing walls. And so kids come, and they're paired up with normal, typical developing kids of their own age, their peers, so that we are teaching the community how to interact with our kids that have disabilities and our young adults. We have volunteers from age from fourth grade all the way up to seniors. We also have volunteers that have disabilities that are looking for an outlet to spend their time and to be with other kids. So we have six classes now, and we are located in North Aurora, and this money is going to help us develop more rooms. We've just put together our calming room, which is a lighted room with music and rocking chairs. And for kids that are overstimulated, they can go in there with their peer and learn to bring themselves to a more functional level and then go back out and play again. And it's just been awesome. We are also going to be starting respite, where parents who need a break can drop their child off, knowing that they're there to play and have fun with a peer and take some time for themselves. So that's thank wonderful. You very much. This money definitely helps.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm board member Lisa Schadel, and the first check I have is for Lazarus House for $10,600.
Hi, I'm Carol Kreitzer. I'm the Associate Director for Lazarus House, and I just want to say thank you so much for your support. We're an emergency shelter and transitional housing and outreach, and so we have a lot of people come through our doors from Geneva, and with this money we're able to help them to get the mental health help that they needed. Many times people are impacted. They become homeless because they struggle so much with mental illness and have not had the care that they needed. They weren't able to get the care. So through these monies that we receive, we are able to help people to get the care that they need and have the best life that they can have. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next one is for NAMI for $800.
I'm Phyllis Grazer, the president of the board of NAMI DKK, a National Association of Mental Illness. We cover DeKalb, Kane, and Kendall counties. We provide education programs and support programs for families and education programs for schools. Jim McNish, our board member, was supposed to be here tonight. He couldn't come, so I'm a deputy for him because he is the one that spearheaded our interest in the Treatment Alternative Court for Kane County. This is for nonviolent offenders who would benefit from treatment rather than incarceration, who meet certain criteria for being able to participate in this court. We want to thank the 708 board from Geneva. I cannot guarantee at any one time how many persons from Geneva will be in the treatment alternative court. The money does not stay with us, NAMI. It goes for services that are not necessarily provided by the court, but which would benefit the persons who are attending the court. We want to thank the Geneva 708 Board for partnering with us to provide better mental health wellness, care, and treatment for those who are mentally ill. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to tell Mr. McNish you did a great job, by the way.
The next check I have is for the Wren Center for $7,000.
Good evening. Jerry Scogmo from Ren's Addiction Counseling Center. Thank you so much for your support. You know, the good old days of social services, it's hard to believe, but that was probably 3 or 4 years ago. And times are tough out there. So these days, it's more important than ever that we get local support. Ren Center is like AID, celebrating its 50th year of operation. We have offices in St. Charles, Elgin, and Streamwood, providing alcohol and drug abuse counseling and alcohol and drug abuse prevention, as well as HIV prevention, compulsive gambling treatment, and we work with area businesses for employee assistance programming. So thank you very much. And, you know, we also partner with a lot of the agencies that are in this room as well, Ecker Center, Lazarus House, and so we have a good cooperative arrangement. But, again, thank you.
Thank you.
The next check is for Suicide Prevention Services for $6,500. Tri-City Family Services for $25,600.
I just want to watch you walk up here after that 5K race.
I might have done better if you'd really shot me in the leg.
How are you feeling?
Good.
Are you?
Great. Thank you. Thank you for your help on it. Mayor Burns.
There was a 5K race this past Saturday, and Jim was sponsored by folks who I think didn't think you could run 5K.
I think it was a sympathy.
It was, and I don't know what you're raising.
It's called sympathy funding.
It's a Saturday morning. It's raining. It's cold, and this guy's out there running a 5K, which in and of itself is amazing. But
anything for the cause.
Yeah, exactly. Well done.
Well, thank you very much for your support. I also want to commend the 708 board for all the work they put into the allocation process. They certainly are excellent stewards of the $708 dollars that they distribute every year. Tri-City Family Services has been honored to serve this community for 44 years. We provide a range of counseling, prevention, early intervention, and youth crisis intervention programs to residents of Geneva and the surrounding townships. I was very pleased to be part of the referendum process in 1988 when I first came to Tri-City, and it's pretty wonderful to think that 23 years later, the community is still helping to ensure that affordable mental health services are available to the residents of our community. The need, of course, is great and getting greater. The economics of our world are bearing down on many of the families, even in the Tri-City area. Right now, about 42% of all of our families who disclose their annual income to us report living on less than $30,000 a year. Is further testament to what's happening in our community and the presence of poverty in our midst. 62% of our clients are now eligible, our children, adolescent clients are now eligible for public aid. Like a lot of my colleagues here, we're particularly grateful in the midst of losses of state funding and slow reimbursement to have the security of the grant funds of the mental health revenue available to us. They provide that stability that seems to be disappearing in a lot of other sectors. So on behalf of all the clients you enable us to serve, I want to thank you. If I could indulge you, Mayor, for just 1 second, we're not sending out Christmas cards this year in interest of budget constraints. But I did want to share with you a note I received from a client just recently, and it really conveys better than I can the impact that $708 dollars have on this community. She writes, "As a single mom with 2 kids, both of whom are suffering from mental illness, my worst fear is not being able to obtain the necessary services to help my children. The services that have been made available and affordable to me have been such a blessing. Aside from helping me financially, the kindness of the agency and support has made my life so much easier. It's really a miracle to know that I don't have to do this alone. Thank you so much." And I think that thank you is directed to all of you for making her services and those of many others available. Thank you. Happy
thank
holidays.
You. Thank you. Don't stop running.
And the last check is for Tri-City Health Partners for $1,750.
you guys know how to throw a good party.
We do.
Yeah.
Mayor Burns was at our 10th anniversary party, so we're babies compared to these 50-year-old, 32-year-old agencies. Gosh. But we're really proud that we've been around 10 years. We are not state or federally funded. What we do best is learn how to stretch a dollar way. For every dollar donated to a free clinic, $5 to $8 of medical assistance is provided. So we're only able to do that because of a lot of Geneva residents and St. Charles residents who are medical professionals, and they volunteer their services to provide the care. So the money can go directly to our patients and providing good staff to provide that care as well. In the last 10 years, about 12% of everyone that we provide services to are from Geneva. And we've provided over 15,000 visits in 10 years, medical visits at the clinic, not including specialists in Delnor and all the help that we get from the community as well. 18% of those Geneva residents we have served do indicate that they have mental health issues or abuse issues. A lot of times that's exacerbating their medical issues. So many of them now that we're seeing 2 years ago were middle class, upper class citizens who've lost their houses, who've lost their jobs, been unemployed for 2 years. It's amazing. The face of our patient has changed so much. So we have provided to the tune of about $450,000 in care to those 18% who do have the mental health issues and so. And the 708 board has generously funded us $17,000 plus over the last 10 years, and we are very, very grateful. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Madam Chairman, is there anything you'd like to add to wrap it up, or I'd be happy to open it to comments or questions from the council as well.
No, I just would like to say that, you know, again, we respect and appreciate the good work that the agencies do for us under difficult circumstances.
Very difficult. Is there anybody from the council who wishes to add anything, or? You know, it's such a necessary meeting, and I think I speak on behalf of the council and the others that it's heartwarming to know that good people like all of you are doing such good work. So we appreciate it very much. And I know the gentleman in the front row just can't get over the excitement because they're yawning. So, but, so. Guys, any questions about what you've witnessed tonight? These people make our community pretty cool, don't they? Thanks for nodding so affirmatively. By all means, if anyone from any of the agencies needs to sneak out, we don't blame you. In fact, if you stayed, we'd find it rather surprising. But be careful driving out there.
Thank you.
Oh, sure, please do. Okay, without objection, we'll continue. Item 4, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments this evening? Item 5 is the omnibus agenda. All items marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine and can be enacted by one motion.
So move.
Mr. Singer makes that motion. Mr. Piper makes the second. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll call.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg? Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Motion passes with 8 affirmative votes, 1 absent, and 1 soon to return. 2 absent, then. Jump down to item 10, municipal bills for payment. Mr. Clerk, please read the bills to be paid.
Bills for payment total $2,693,854.27.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve and pay the bills as read. The individual bills are available on the city website and the city council packet.
Second. Alderman Brown makes a motion to pay the bills as read and as displayed on the city's website. That motion is seconded by Alderman Hill. Any questions? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Motion passes with 9 affirmative votes and 1 absent. Item 11A is to recommend Ordinance Number 2011-54 for the general 2011 tax levy in the amount of $4,669,158.
So moved.
Second.
Piper makes the motion. The second is offered by Vogelsberg. Questions or comments from the council? Or I should say, and or for either Mary or Tom. Hearing none, seeing none.
Oh,
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a quick question. Does the rate change if an EAV decreases after we've done the levy? If the EAV decreases, does our rate change to accommodate the shortfall?
If the EAV goes down,
right,
the limiting rate by the tax cap goes down, we'll get less money when the EAV goes down.
Right.
Okay.
But it now doesn't get readjusted. The rate does not get readjusted put the levy in place.
Yes. Because the rate is the final calculation. This says how much money we're asking for. The EAV, when they finalize it, that the dollars we are asking for will be decreased because we're limited by the tax cap.
Right. Okay. I understand that.
So
there was a rate adjustment anywhere that we could be.
Because the rate is the final calculation.
Okay.
So the only thing that will change is the actual dollars that we get.
Okay.
And then they figure out the rate, and then that's the final rate.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that in my head.
Okay.
Thank you.
Alderman Brown, then Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to follow up on that. You said we're limited by the tax cap. Mm-hmm. I believe the correct statement is we choose to be limited by the tax cap. If we ask for less money than the tax cap, then the amount would not go down if the EAV did not decrease enough to hit us to allow us again to hit the tax cap.
That's correct.
So if we ask for less than the maximum, mm-hmm. we're not necessarily limited.
Correct. Only if we ask for more.
Only if we ask for the tax cap.
Right.
Then if the cap goes down, we get less.
That's correct.
But we are certainly not limited by the tax cap. We choose to be limited by the tax
That's
cap
correct.
Each year
mm-hmm.
in recent history.
Correct.
Thank you.
Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tom, what is the history of that, a recent history of that we experienced decreases in the rate because of the devaluation of the EAV, perhaps?
Yeah, well, it's kind of different than this, but I mean.
For example, that building there.
That building there.
That
yes.
was. What's the value? $1 or $2.
This is a little bit different than what you're asking, but this is the rate in the EAV. So. What you're asking is if we've ever been limited, if the rate goes down.
Yes.
Okay. That I don't have with me right now.
Oh, okay.
I don't have that. I know in prior years I've noticed that sometimes we've been under the limit. So, like you said, we were under the limit anyways when the extension, when the property taxes were approved. So even though the cap was higher, we were under that. So that hasn't changed.
But that only happens if the AV goes up.
Not generally, exactly. Because sometimes it will, but in the last couple of years, it's always gone down after the estimate.
Traditionally, on that whole part of that graph where it was going up, the AV was actually going up more than we estimated, and we were often not at the cap, but very close.
Right. But here you can see as the EAV goes up, the rate goes down. Now, in the current, the last few years, our EAV has been dropping.
Right.
So the rate is going to go up. Because it's just going up faster than we can. The EAV is dropping faster than we would ever be able to raise them.
So, in other words, the people whose homes are of lower value, are they going to be paying more in taxes or less in taxes?
It depends on how far in value their property has dropped. Somebody asked for that information, and at the one of the requests that I got was if somebody's home was valued at $320,000 last year, and this year it dropped to $305,000, the increase would be the increase would not be as high if their value had stayed the same. So if their value was 320 last year, and 320 this year, their property taxes would go up higher.
All right.
Than if their value went from 320 to 305.
Right. If it went to 305, the tax would be less. Than
it would be less.
Okay.
But it would still increase from the prior year. It's just the way it's just the way it's calculated.
Yeah. Right.
But it just wouldn't increase as much.
Well, that's what I'm concerned about, because so many properties are going to lose value. Many of us have already seen that on our paperwork we received from the county and from the township, wherever it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly is a concern.
It's always a concern.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Sure.
I believe Alderman Marks was next.
Yeah, you know, last week we had saw a calculation. Could you walk us through that one? It looked like to me, and I just wanted to make sure I was looking at it right, because I found it quite interesting,
mm-hmm.
that it was actually, if I read that right, that it was truly keeping the rate pretty much flat for the existing homes, but we were still capturing the increase in the new construction. Is that correct? Is that what mm-hmm. that was doing?
Keeping the
4.4, it was the levy was 6,319,794 plus 0.44%. It looked like what it was doing.
One.
Yeah, that one I'm not sure I understand that one totally, but it looks like that calculation is allowing us to still capture the growth in the city. Is that what that is doing?
If I could just add, that's not including the CPI, but it is capturing the growth.
Right. That's the one that was requested, adding 0.44%.
So that's truly just capturing the growth of the city. Leaving everything else flat from the previous year.
Right.
I find that one extremely interesting. I would ask the council to look at that, because it raises the rate, but it at least lets us capture the growth and still leaves normal homeowners still not suffer an increase due to, even though their EAV is going down.
Alderman Malaja, then Alderman Kilberg, then Brown.
I did take a look at that new or the modified mm-hmm. calculation. And I don't know if I read this correctly, so maybe, Tom, you can help me if mm-hmm. I get the numbers right. But the difference in the corporate looks to be, so under this new model, it would be $1,211,000. Under the proposed model, it's $1,279,000. Do I understand that correctly?
Well, the new model, the one with the 0.44%.
That one I'm pretty sure I got.
$1,211,000, right, $553,000.
But in the proposal in our packet, mm-hmm. which also includes the CPI,
right.
That's $1.279 million in
correct.
Corporate, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's a difference of $68,000, which doesn't sound like a lot, but a lot of the things that we do in our debates, $50,000 is a large amount of money and occupies a lot of time in debate. So then I started thinking about this concept of, you know, if an EAV is falling, perhaps we should make sure that taxes don't rise. And what I would ask this council is, what if EAVs fall and don't recover for 5 years? Do we continue to decrease our revenues each year for 5 years, in spite of the fact that costs increase, fuel costs go up, insurance costs go up, retirement costs go up, a lot of non-discretionary costs? We, as an entity like any business or any homeowner, face rising costs. So we need to be very careful when we talk about hot button issues like my home value is decreasing, why are my taxes going up? I think that that's not a good way to look at it. The way I look at it is we've got more streets that require repair, we've got more trees that require to be replanted, fuel costs go up and affect everything that we do. And in spite of all of that, we are still limited in the amount that we can go after by a thing called the tax cap. So I think that if we were to say that I would decrease my revenues or I would decrease my levy each year until property values recover, I don't get the logic of that, and I don't think I like where it leads as a decision-making body. I think that's all for now.
Just for clarification, I wanted to make sure that I'm understanding that the two comparisons, the 2.4% that's recommended in the packet, 2% that's recommended in the packet, and then the 0.92% that's recommended with the scenario that Alderman Marks was talking about. The difference per $100 of assessed valuation is less than one penny. Correct. It's 0.009313. Is that right? The scenario of the 0% CPI, but using the growth factor.
I didn't calculate.
$6 million.
Right. No, the difference in that scenario and the one that's proposed in the packet is less than one penny per $100 of assessed valuation.
$72,000.
I mean, I was thinking about the assessed value. It's less than a penny per $100. So it's just very close to what's being presented, you know, in the packet already as far as the effect on a homeowner.
Mr. Maladra, anything else? Alderman Kilberg?
No, I appreciate the staff's work on this.
Excuse me. Thank you.
I'm going to vote against the levy as it's presented this evening. I think with the current state of affairs, with our economy and some of the challenges our residents are facing, I find it difficult to support it as presented. I think all of us have heard the frustration and the concerns of residents, and I was the one that asked about the calculations on the 0% CPI and taking the 0.44% on new construction. And in studying it, I felt that this was a reasonable approach moving forward, at least for this year. And I feel that we have a fiscal responsibility to tighten our budgets as well as sort of a moral obligation to the community at this point in time. So that's where I'm at, and that's how I'll vote this evening.
Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think the council gets confused with tax rates, and I'm surprised at this point that people haven't figured that out. The bottom line is, how much money are we asking for? That has to be divided amongst the people in the city. It's divided according to the ratios of EBAs. But the AV, according to what we get from the county, has gone down an average of 5% on existing residences. If everybody's in town, EBA goes down 5% and we ask for the same amount of money, your tax bill will stay the same. The tax rate has nothing to do with it. It's the amount of money asked for divided by the total EBA of the town. So we should be concentrating on how much money we're asking for. We're asking for quite a bit more money than we did last year. The 4669 is quite a bit more than the 4576 we asked for last year. It's 90,000 more. Now, anyone who understands the city's general fund account, which is a $14 to $15 million account with approximately $4 million in the black at the moment, which is good, not great by most businesses' standards, but then again, most businesses, they are happy to be in a good position. The general fund is in reasonably good shape. We're nibbling around at the edges here on deciding whether it's a $50,000 or $90,000 increase in the amount of money we're asking for next year compared to last year.
We're nibbling around the edges. If we really wanted to address the whole question of what should the general fund be, we would have to address the three biggest issues. The three biggest components of our budget, over 75% of our budget. The police department. How many police do we really need in this city? The fire department. How many fire departments do, how many firemen do we really need? Public works. How much snow removal and MLS borer replacement do we need in the city? Those are the big items. People who understand the numbers will realize we could possibly end up looking like the U.S. Congress that nibbles around the edges and refuses to attack the three biggest parts of their budget, which amount to over 75% of their budget, Social Security, Medicare, and the military. We would be in the same position. So we're nibbling around the edges arguing whether we have a $40,000 or a $50,000 or a $90,000 increase in a request of $6 million on a budget that's running approximately $15 million a year. We're nibbling around the edges. Nevertheless, appearances count. And I think right now, I believe the appearances are that, yes, we don't want to ask for any more than we necessarily have to. It is going to fall on the existing residences because there has been almost no growth, only 0.44%. And that's not covering the amount that we're asking for extra. That growth is not going to take care of it, and hence the average bill is going to go up slightly. Not as much as the calculation shows, because the calculation forgot to take into effect that the average house has fallen by 5%, according to the county's EBA. So the average person's EAV has gone down by approximately 5%. That's reflected in the numbers we got a week and a half, 3 weeks ago. But still, I would like to back Alderman Kilberg in this and vote against this, because I think it just does not send the right signal. It's really of little relevance to the overall health of this budget, which is affected by numbers of 100,000 or greater. But I think it sends the wrong signal for us to be asking for the maximum that we're allowed this year. I think we can back off slightly from that with any sort of a reasonable argument on why we should back off, and I believe Alderman Kilberg's argument is a very good argument. And by backing off from the amount we're asking by a mere $60,000 or $70,000, it's irrelevant to the overall health of this budget, and I think sends the right signal that we are also trying somewhat to keep our fiscal health in order and to keep the tax bill as low as we can on the citizens. So I will join in Alderman Kilberg in fighting against this. Thank you.
Alderman Piper, then Maladra.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I said this coming into this council, and I'm going to say it going out. We're picking fly shit out of pepper again. Remember that? Here we go. I don't know how many more signals we can send, and I don't know how many more times we can do this. But we have cut and cut and cut and cut and cut, and we come in here and we say it, and we argue and we argue and we argue and we cut. And then we come down to, well, we better make it look good again. We better make it look good again. And guess what? Now we're strapped with unions all over the place. And we're strapped with Emerald Ash. Yeah, we can probably cut. We can cut Emerald Ash board. And you know what? Citizens are going to go, I want my trees. Okay, you pay for them. Someone will pitch a fit about that. So we're stuck with everybody wants everything. Everybody wants it for nothing. And we don't have any money. It's a zero-sum game. We've said it before. We'll say it again. We got 100 holes and 80 pegs. Where do you want them? So we're talking about, what, $70,000, $90,000? And crucify me. It's a drop in the bucket on a $60 million budget. It just is. It means almost nothing in the grand scheme of that budget. We can do that. You want to vote against it? Absolutely, we can vote against it. We can start over. But in the grand scheme of things, this doesn't mean anything. It just doesn't. That $60,000, we can find it. We can move it. But it's all for looks, folks. As far as from where I sit, from the amount of times we've done this and the amount of cuts that we've made in all these departments, the amount of meetings the department heads have had, and the amount of stuff that I've seen every department do when all these folks come in here and they cut to the absolute bone, as far as I'm concerned, we're just doing this to make ourselves look good and pat ourselves on the back from where I sit. Those are my thoughts. Thanks.
Alderman Maladra?
I'll go back a little bit to what I was saying before. I think that gesture, the grand gesture of standing here saying that we have to do this because of these tough economic times. We've been talking about these tough economic times for 3 years running now. If we continue down this path, I fear that we're going to reach a point that's very difficult for any city to recover from. The general fund is in good shape, I agree. But at the same time, year after year, we defer capital investments, for want of a better term, We know, for example, that our streets budget is not large enough to keep up with the deterioration of our streets. We've been challenged with Emerald Ash Borer. We've been challenged with keeping up with the cemetery. I mentioned all these things last week. They were somewhat dismissed by some of the people on this council, but the fact is each of these items drew a significant amount of discussion over the past several months. As Mr. Piper said, I didn't get the part about the whatever in the flood. As Mr. Piper said, the demand for our services does not change. In my experience, the first time this city council took a hard line against costs was with leaf pickup, when we cut the third pickup. And I believe after the first round of phone calls, every member of this council was backing off of that position. Nobody said, hey, Geneva residents, we have to cut costs, and so we did. We all came back and said, we've got to find a way to get that third pickup in. We've talked about funding a counseling program for people fined for underage drinking. That costs money. The trees that we talk about, this is a natural disaster. To accommodate or deal with that natural disaster, that costs money. We are very free with our dramatic statements about how we want to spend our money. They don't equate to the same dramatic statement that says, let's spend that extra money and decrease our revenues. Alderman Brown did hit the nail on the head. Do we have the right staffing levels? I don't know the answer to that. I'm not even sure how to find out the answer to that. I believe, although I won't say how I think we determine that, because I could be totally wrong and I embarrass myself enough. But I do know this. We have cut this budget year after year after year. A statement that says that we need to take a hard line today makes it sound like we have not been taking a hard line. Quite the contrary is true. We have been taking a hard line, and we will continue to take a hard line. But what we're looking at tonight is going after as much money as we can possibly get in very limiting circumstances. I appreciate the strange way that it's got to feel and look, that my property values are going down but my taxes are going up. To me, they're two separate issues. My taxes are doing what they're doing because the cost of providing the services we have to provide as a business go up, same as costs at every other business. Do you pay more at the grocery store? Yes, you do. Do you pay more at the gas pump? Yes, you do. We're continually hearing that we need to run this council or run this city like a business. Well, I say let's do that. And we're being prudent with how we're pricing our product. But as a business, you don't cut off your revenue stream. I don't know where I went. Sorry.
Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mayor. Actually, I was going to bring up the drug counseling also, because to me the last big hot issue we had was a proposal to raise fees but also do mandatory counseling for underage drinking, a program that we are not even sure that it's our responsibility of the city's purview. And that was a heated discussion. Mostly everyone wanted it. And I guess it's always difficult. I mean, we go through this every year, to balance the needs and the wants of the residents, the unfunded mandates that are constantly put on us, the funds that we used to have and we've lost for different reasons, usually out of our control. We've cut our budget systematically year after year after year, and I agree. Nobody wants to wake up and read in the paper that there's going to be an increase in tax. But people also didn't want to read that we're not going to replace the Emerald Ash trees unless people pay half. They definitely didn't want to read that we weren't going to take them down because of budget. No matter what a resident complains about, the answer, it's sad, because the answer is always budget. I'm sorry, we can't do that because of this. We can't do that because of this. So, in my opinion, people are not getting their needs met, their services met, and it causes a frustration. And like I said, a lot of it's not under our control. But I don't think we can tie our hands even more. Thank you.
Alderman Flanagan?
I just kind of want to go over what the issue about the consulting. If I remember correctly, we increased the fine and took the counseling so that it would be absorbed by the actual person who was underage drinking. As far as I understood,
no.
That wasn't going to be coming out of any funds.
Well, there's been no formal recommendation.
And there was, right. And we haven't even
solidified
that.
But we were going to have to supervise this, whatever.
Right. But I think that the main one was that we were going to, well, whatever. Whatever figure it was, we were going to double it and then throw in counseling because there was a concern that education was a big factor in this, and counseling would be about the best way to handle education. That's how I understood it, but I could be wrong.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Are you interrupting?
I'm sorry, for a point of order, Mr.
Sure.
Yeah, I do need to have that clarified, just this one issue, and and I think you said it. We did not decide to do anything.
Yeah, there's been no formal action.
There's been no formal action on that particular issue, whether we raise the fee.
Correct. There's been no formal action taken, no recommendation made. So.
Thank you, sir.
Just the study.
I apologize.
Just use it as an example by Alderman.
Yeah, I mean, they were using it, but I thought I'd try to.
There's been no formal action on that.
Clarification.
Correct.
It's a dream, but probably a dry one.
Maybe it won't
come.
Yeah, might not come to fruition. Somebody said that I don't want to be too argumentative, but the levy is definitely under our control.
Okay.
So not to say that we don't have any control over it, I think, is not an accurate statement.
I didn't say that.
I did, but I meant the unfunded mandates. I'm sorry. You're absolutely correct. We have control over
that. I don't want to be argumentative.
No, and I didn't take
it
that way.
I'm
glad for the clarification because I just mean we have a lot of things, costs that we cannot control.
Oh,
but you're absolutely correct. We can control the levy, so
right.
I don't find that argumentative.
Okay. I just wanted to say I know that the services are being provided by the city, and I think we do, and I think staff does an excellent job of trying to work with the money that we have coming in and available. I also want to say that Alderman Maladra's idea of saying, well, we're going to take if we change our mode of taxation or change the levy, why would you be under the assumption that we would continue to do this for years and years? So my assumption is not that it would be year after year after year. It would be, again, discussed and argued, and we would come up with some sort of rationalization or hopefully an agreement or hopefully a consensus that we all can live with. But that's my opinion. I'm going to support Alderman Kilberg's recommendation. I think it has some merit, and I think I would like to see what happens to it over the year. And if it's wrong, then I will certainly say I was wrong. But I think it's worth a chance to do it. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I don't assume that we'll do the same thing year after year after year, but what I do think is that we're starting to slip into a hole now. And if we take this action today, we'll slip deeper into that hole. And what I question is our ability in a continuing declining economy to get to make a correction to that downward spiral. I do not think that we will make the same decision year after year, but I also don't think that this is a ship that can be changed course like that. I believe we have to think today about the effects of our actions, the actions that we take today, 2 years from now and 3 years from now. We've got evidence of this, I'll call it deterioration for want of a better term. When we defer capital projects, that is evidence that there's a deterioration. When we talk about dipping into our reserves, that is evidence of a deteriorating condition. If we take a stance today that accelerates that decline, do we really believe that we can reverse it just like that? We're dealing with a balance here that I don't believe we have the wisdom or the foresight to be able to change. If we did, we could have all seen this coming and ridden it out with no problem at all. So I don't mean to say that we'll do the same thing year after year after year, but what I do mean to say is that we have to look at the signs that we see, and we have to make decisions today and think about the effects of those decisions years down the road.
Anyone else from the dais? Obviously, as we all know, an amendment can be offered to the motion made. If there's someone who's interested in amending the motion, that can certainly be considered. In fact, it would be...
I guess my question is this. If the original levy that is proposed is voted down, can we then vote on Alderman Klingberg's proposal?
You'd have to have a motion to reconsider, but I think it would be cleaner to amend the motion if that's the desire. I mean, I think the fact of the matter is if there's a better number, whether it be based on signals or perceptions or immorality that you want to throw out there, go for it.
I don't see immorality.
No, it was suggested.
Yeah,
so.
But I mean...
But if you want to, then I would suggest that someone amend the motion. Alderman Brown?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will offer an amendment to amend the tax levy assessment from 466,9158.00 to the amount listed in the memo we have, which is based on keeping the levy the same but adding in enough to cover the growth, the 4%, which I believe comes up to a total levy of 4,597,063. Is that correct? I offer that amendment. We have on our desks at the dais here, we have a new calculation which keeps the levy the same except that it adds in the 4.449% to cover the growth that has been experienced in the city, leading to a new levy amount of not 466,9158.00, but 4,597,063.00. I believe that's the correct way to state it.
It's right here.
So this is the one with the heading that says total levy of $6,319,794 plus 0.4%.
Correct.
That is, just to clarify, that's without the debt service levy.
I understand, but that comes in a further motion further down the list today, I believe is correct. Right, Mr. Deal?
That's the truth inside that service.
Yeah.
This levy is just for the city's tax levy, not including the debt service. It's this number.
I will second that motion, Mr. Mayor.
Let's clarify the motion first with the review by Tom Dahl, Mayor McKittrick, and the city attorney, then we'll make sure it's
fine.
Right here.
This was the debt service.
That is correct.
That comes after. That gets you from 4 to 6 million. Forget these tax rates. Forget those. Look at the numbers. The tax rate is a confusing number.
I know they are.
All right.
Don't look at it.
The general corporate.
This is what we're asking for right now.
Yep. Alderman Brown.
Excuse me?
Your number would be $4,597,063.
And 0 cents.
0 cents, but I believe that also changes the corporate sum.
But that's not part of 11A.
It's in that ordinance. It's in that ordinance, though.
It is in 11A. I see. I'm sorry. But in the printed agenda tonight, the only number that appeared was the 4669.
Correct. But in the ordinance, it's currently stated.
Then my amendment would also accept the change in the grand total.
Thank you.
Occurring because I have changed the subtotal, which does not include debt service.
Nobody does.
And given to us
this
tonight,
is or right now.
Was it tonight or previous night?
Yeah,
it was last week.
Last week, okay.
Last week.
Thank you.
When was that sent out?
Last month. All right.
Last week.
It could go Monday.
Last week.
Okay.
It keeps the general fund, the amount of money we're asking for in the general fund, without the debt service, constant, but adds in a 0.44% to accommodate the growth of EVA that we've had in the
Mr. Dahl is making sure the calculations are correct so that we have the ordinance numbers correct.
Subject to Scrivener's errors. Our Excel sheets.
Well, Mr. Dahl steps away from the dais to do his calculations.
Ask the lawyer, is there our Excel sheets legal documents?
You can take that with you.
We have to believe the arithmetic.
I was going to suggest we recess for a moment, but I know Mrs. McKittrick wants to share something that I think is relevant and important.
Well, I just thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to make sure that everyone understood that this is still going to increase taxes. The rate is still going to go up. So instead of...
I'm sorry, Ms. McKittrick, please state that correctly. The tax rate may go up. It's not obvious the taxes will go up on any particular property.
Alderman, that I'm stating it in my own way.
Let's be a little bit more respectful of everybody's conversation here.
One gets confused between tax rate and taxes, and we continue to do that.
Taxes will go up.
The tax rate may go up. The taxes will not necessarily go up on any particular property. Some people have had more than a 5% decrease in their EAV.
So the objective here is just to target certain properties for tax increases.
That's true.
Okay.
Just for clarification, our current rate is about 60 cents per $100 of assessed valuation.
Correct.
With the scenario that we are currently talking about, it will go up to about 64 cents per $100 of assessed valuation. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone understood that we're still talking about a rate increase, which is the variable used in determining the dollar amount that someone pays on their property taxes as it relates to the city's portion.
So for me, 60 cents currently, and the proposed amount in the packet is 65 cents?
No.
Three.
I heard a five and a three. What's going on?
64.8.
Let them crank all the numbers down.
This is going to work by a penny is what I'm getting at.
That's what I said earlier.
So if this one is 64, then the one in the packet is 65.
The one on the table.
Yeah.
Rounded.
And no matter what we do, we're raising it.
Yes.
So there's no way to get away from that.
Because we're raising it based upon the increased valuation.
I really wish we'd get away from quoting tax rates. The only thing that counts is how much money we are asking for. The tax rate is a derivative number.
Well, it was seconded, and they asked him to stop.
It was seconded.
It was not seconded by design until we clarified the number that Alderman Brown had suggested.
Okay.
Because there was a substantive change in the resolution.
Does the chair now believe he understands my motion?
Yes. I have it written down, but I just want to...
Thank you.
But Alderman Brown, your motion should include a mayor report that does change some of the internal numbers in the ordinance, that for general corporate purposes, it would be the sum of $111,553. That's the previous number was $1,283,648.
Yes.
I see what they're doing. Okay. And then, of course, your original motion was for the total levy to be
$4,597,648. Okay.
Would it be better just to say my amendment is to substitute the first page of this new tax rate calculation for the one that was used to calculate to in Ordinance 11A as stated in the agenda?
I don't think so, because the only changes in the dollar amounts in this ordinance are the two that change the total levy. Mm-hmm. And according to Mr. Dahl, the general corporate.
Well, then, may I ask for clarification? Oh, I'm sorry. My amendment hasn't been seconded.
What, do you include that?
That figure, the general corporate purposes of $1,211,000?
Then may I ask a question of a clarification? The corporate the corporate amount is listed separately from fire protection, police protection, mental, and police protection. Why is police protection and fire protection not part of the corporate amendment, although they are part of the general fund?
I got too many papers.
Alderman Brown, I trouble you to restate that question.
Fire protection.
On the sheet we have in front of us, proposes a new calculation of the levy based on a suggestion from Alderman Kilburn, which I back. There is listed separately a corporate levy, a fire protection levy, and a police protection levy. Why are they listed separately when they are all part of the general fund?
Because that's how we...
Is that binding? Is that binding?
That's the way that we filed it with the county in the past. That's the way that they've asked for the breakdown.
My question is that binding? If we found it necessary to let next year to move some money from corporate to fire protection or vice versa, could we do it?
We can move that around as long as we're not changing that total. Mm-hmm.
Then my amendment is simply, please replace the numbers in Ordinance 11A as listed on the agenda with the numbers shown by the tax levy calculation given to us by Mr. Deal. That includes the corporate number, et cetera.
And I'll second that.
We just want to verify that the numbers were transcribed correctly from the one document to the resolution, or the ordinance, excuse me.
That is correct, Alderman.
What's
on that sheet would then bear,
yes,
the changes would bear on this ordinance.
I would also like your input on my question. The ordinance that I'm trying to amend lists in great detail the various subsections of the general fund. Are those binding? Or is it possible us to move funds within these various subcategories of the, even though this ordinance details in great detail subdivisions of the general fund?
In the general fund or in all funds? I'm sorry.
We're only talking about the general fund right now, are we not?
Yes.
It lays out a very large number of subdivisions, like audit and street and bridge and ambulance. Are those subnumbers all binding? Or is it only the overall total which is binding?
That's the amount to be levied. So that's.
I understand, but if we approve this, have we then, in some sense, fixed the amounts in each of these subfunds and are not able to move between the various subfunds if necessary, in the next 6 months?
They are able to, yes.
Yes, you are able.
They can be moved, but they are all subject to a cap. Each one of these has a cap to them.
As long as
After this is approved and the county has approved it and the taxes have been assessed, we still not are able to move
monies
between these funds?
Yes, we can. When we file this, we will get a settlement sheet. And we can move money around as we need it among these functions. However, if you put it into one and it's covered by a cap, you can't add to that.
Fine.
But these have to be separately levied.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Right. This is how these are established. They have to be separate.
But they're not binding amounts. They may, some of them may be capped, but they're not binding amounts.
As long as the total is not changed.
I understand the total is also capped. But you're saying some of the individual components are capped, mm-hmm. but many of them are not. So we the city council does have flexibility within this budget year to move some of the funds between some of these listed subcategories.
Well, I don't know that the city council votes on that. That comes as a worksheet from the county to the finance manager and myself. We look at what's been approved in the ordinance, and to my knowledge, in the 13 years that I've worked here, we've not changed that. And it's never come back to council. So once this list is approved by you, it typically does not come back.
Well, I understand. But this specifies a certain amount for fire protection. Say something catastrophically happened and we had to change the amount we spent in the next year for fire protection. Would we be constrained by this document?
This is a minuscule portion of the fire protection budget.
I understand that too.
This helps with the budget, but these numbers are part of the general fund, part of much larger numbers.
It still doesn't answer whether we would be constrained by these numbers. I'm wondering why we have such detail in here, besides the fact that some of them have a cap.
Because they're all levies.
When these were passed,
there's some levies of a general levy.
They all have tax rates.
I understand. But again, the tax rate is silly. It's the amount of money we're asking for that really matters. And some of these are capped and some of them are not, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. But this does not constrain us in the future. Either the amendment that's on the floor or the original motion that's on the floor does not necessarily constrain the spending within each one of these listed subcategories. Correct? Because, as you say, there are other funds that go into these subcategories as well as these. So it doesn't constrain us. Thank you. That's all I need.
Yes, this is not the fire protection, fire budget, if you will. This levy contributes to the fire budget. So I'm not sure why you would change that, for example, using this list of general fund levies.
No problem.
Okay.
I'll let my amendment stand.
Just so everybody understands.
I suggested amendment.
The amendment is to change the tax levy to that $4,597,063.00 as depicted on the worksheet with the adjustments on that worksheet.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you, Mr.
And there's a second.
There's not a second, but Alderman Hill wanted to offer the second.
Yes, sir. I will
second. Do you understand the motion? Alderman Hill offers the second.
Amendment.
So there's a motion and a second, Mr. Mayor, on the floor for the amendment.
On the amendment, Brown offers.
Okay, forget it.
Hill seconds. Questions regarding the amendment? Alderman Piper?
Just for clarification, since we've been around this a few times, the difference in what we're talking about here, Mary, the difference in what we're talking about here is what? It's less than a penny on assessed value?
Per $100 of assessed value.
So either way, our taxes are going up on the assessed value of the house per $100. We're talking about less than a penny, so we're looking at, what, $30 a year on average, and a round number.
You're looking at a difference of about $70,000 in the big picture of the entire levy. The rate, which is what is applied to the assessed valuation of a property, determines how much somebody pays.
I agree, but if
so,
citizen says, how does it affect me? The difference in what we're talking about right now, how does it affect me directly? It's
well,
about $30.
It's a $300,000.
Exactly,
house
it's about $30,
so
right? I mean, ballpark.
If I can jump in on your question.
I believe your EVA went down if you have a $300,000 house. Right. So you have to be careful on
just,
how much
wait,
it's going to cost.
Wait, just give me a minute, please.
Well, yeah, it'd be $10. Yeah. So it'd be closer to $10.
Okay.
Difference.
$10 tax difference.
Well, you're using using
$100,000 assessed value.
Okay.
For a $300,000
yeah.
house.
Yeah.
Okay. So, thank you.
Alderman Vogelsberg?
No, actually, Alderman Piper, let me jump in on his question.
On the amendment, anyone else?
Okay.
Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
This is on the amendment.
This is on the amendment only.
Sorry.
Craig Maladra?
Nay.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Nay.
Ron Singer?
Nay.
Don Vogelsberg?
Nay.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
The amendment passes with a...
No, no.
No, correction, does not pass.
No, no. Mr. Mayor, half of the aldermen voted in favor of the motion, so that calls for you to cast your vote.
I will vote nay.
Motion then fails.
Main motion's back on the table.
So moved.
Motion by Piper. Is there?
Second.
Piper and Vogelsberg.
It has already been seconded.
It's already been seconded.
Piper and Vogelsberg.
Right. Piper and Vogelsberg made the motion and seconded on the original.
Oh, on the original.
About 40 minutes ago. Yeah.
I can't remember.
Questions on the original motion? Hearing none?
Point of order.
Yes, sir.
Could you explain the rationale behind the defeat of the amendment?
My personal or the legal opinion, the legal opinion, Mr. City Attorney?
There was not a concurrence of the aldermen on the vote. It was half of the aldermen voted in favor, and under the statutes, the mayor on that occasion votes. And so he cast a nay vote, which made it a tie vote, so the proposition did not pass.
How do you get half of nine?
There was five.
There are 10 aldermen.
He was letting the
holding office.
Say that again, Chuck. I'm sorry. There's 10 people holding office. So how many people voted no?
Four.
Five voted
against.
Against. And then the mayor made. Okay. Thank you.
Is that by ordinance?
State statute.
Section 3.1-40-30 of the Illinois Municipal Code permits the mayor to vote on three different occasions unless the statute specifically calls for it. One of those occasions is where one half of the aldermen elected have voted in favor of the ordinance, resolution, or motion, even though there is no tie vote.
Voted favorably. So actually, it gives a tie vote with the mayor voting.
So it's tied, so it fails.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. On the main motion, offered by Piper, seconded by Vogelsberg. Just to clarify, that is to recommend ordinance number 2011-54 for the general 2011 tax levy in the amount, as originally stated, $4,669,158.
Okay.
All those succeeding levies then change accordingly. Right, Mr. Dahl?
Yes.
I don't believe that.
Any questions or comments? Mr. Clerk?
How are you?
Yeah. Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
No. Nay.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Nay.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Nay.
Sam Hill?
Nay.
Dean Kilberg?
Nay.
Mayor votes aye. No, that doesn't matter because there's too many in the negative, so we are defeated on that main motion. So it is up to the council.
So we have no levy.
Well, we have to file this levy by a certain date, which is later in the month, but it's my recommendation that, I don't know how to phrase this with being delicate, so I'll just go ahead and wing it without using the colorful language of Alderman Piper. But, the council members who feel they can come up with a better number, get to work. Your deadline is December 23rd, I believe. and then come back to the council with a recommendation as to what we should levy based on what you think is important and the priorities of the council, and the rest of the council will consider it. Moving on to item 11B. Is to recommend ordinance number 2010-55 for the levy and assessment of 2011 taxes for special service area number 1 in the amount of $177,000.
So moved.
I agree with it.
Motion by Singer. Seconded by?
Second.
Flanagan. Questions or comments regarding item 11B? And Tom, for the benefit of those watching at home and the press who's now leaving, could you just share in vocally any of these recommended ordinances, whether the levy is increasing or not?
None of these is the levy increasing.
Okay. We have a motion by Singer, a second by Flanagan. Roll call is in order. Mr. Clerk.
Kirk Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
John Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Gene Kilberg.
Aye.
Motion passes with 9 affirmative votes, 1 absent. Item 11C, approve ordinance number 20-56 for the levy and assessment of 2011 taxes for special service area number 4 in the amount of $11,950. Motion by Singer.
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Hill. Questions or comments? Mr. Clerk.
Kirk Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Motion passes with 9 affirmative votes, 1 absent. Item 11D is to approve ordinance number 2010-57 for the levy and assessment of 2011 taxes for special service area number 5 in the amount of $7,750.
So move.
Second.
Singer makes the motion and Marks makes the second. Questions or comments? Roll call is in order.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Motion passes with 9 affirmative votes, 1 absent. Item E, approve ordinance number 2010-58 for the levy and assessment of 2011 taxes for special service area number 7 in the amount of $2,750.
Move approval.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Singer. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Craig Maladra.
Mm-hmm. Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Motion passes with 9 affirmative votes and 1 absent. We are on item 11F, approve ordinance number 2010-59 for the levy and assessment of 2011 taxes for special service area number 9 in the amount of $3,000.
So move.
Second.
Singer makes the motion and Marks makes the second. Mr. Clerk.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Motion passes with 9 affirmative votes, 1 absent. Item 11G, approve ordinance number 2010-60 for the levy and assessment of 2011 taxes for special service area number 11 in the amount of $53,000.
So moved. Second.
Was it Marks and Hill? Questions, comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
That's why I hesitated. Just for clarification, folks, all the all the ordinance history 2011 dash blank.
Oh.
It's my fault. So item H, therefore, approve ordinance number 2011-61 in the levy and assessment of 2011 taxes for special service area number 16 in the amount of $136,800.
Move approval.
Second.
Hill makes the motion and Flanagan makes the second. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Craig Maladra. Aye. Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Gene Kilburg?
Aye.
Motion passes with 9 affirmative votes, 1 absent. Item I is to approve ordinance number 2011-62 for the levy and assessment of 2011 taxes for special service area number 18 in the amount of $1,460.
So moved.
Motion by Marks.
Second.
Seconded by Singer. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilburg?
Aye.
Item J, approve ordinance number 2011-63 for the levy and assessment of 2011 taxes for special service area number 23 in the amount of $1,060.
So move.
Second.
Singer makes the motion and Marks makes the second. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilburg?
Motion passes, 9 affirmative votes, 1 absent. Item K, approve ordinance number 2011-64 for the levy and assessment of 2011 taxes for special service area number 26 in the amount of $7,100.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kilburg, seconded by Hill. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilburg.
Aye.
And just for the record, folks, the electronic packet does show, in fact, the 2011 dash.
Yes, it does.
Appropriate. So
just the paper.
It was the paper, yeah. So my apologies. And, of course, that last item, item K, is the first time we have ever levied that West Haven residential tax. So. Yeah, of course, at the resident's request as well. So, yeah. Item number 13, folks, is new business. Anyone in the audience who's remained standing, sitting, or otherwise conscious, anything at all? From the dais, Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members of the council and citizens of Geneva, a number of weeks ago, we had a presentation from Officer Jackson regarding the manner in which the triad functions here in our community. And as I indicated to you, I'm very active in that organization, and we do a great number of things for our senior citizens. And this, of course, amounts to an expense for the program. And there are ways and manners in which we try to bring forward funding for this triad program. And one of the methods that we're using this year is on Monday, December the 12th, 2011, at 4 p.m. until closing, the Houlihan's restaurant in Geneva Commons, a percentage of the receipts that they will be achieving will be donated to the Central Kane County Triad. So I'm asking us and many of you and our citizens if they could possibly find their way to Houlihan's on Monday, December the 12th, to help benefit our program. It would be greatly appreciated. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. You'll be there all day?
Yeah.
Got to come to the council meeting that evening.
He'll be eating until 6 o'clock.
Yeah, 6
o'clock.
6:45. Anyone else on the dais? I'd like to recognize Alderman Bob Piper.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, it's just us folks. I spoke to everybody a long time ago, a few months ago, regarding some changes to my residence, changes that I've had in my personal life. I have moved into the first ward, have had every intention of moving back into the second ward. That has not been possible for me. I had spoken to each of the council members individually. I had made a commitment to the council that I would continue to try and do so. If that was not going to be possible, I would step down. And I'm letting you know that I submitted a letter today, and I will be stepping down as of December 31st. So that's going to be the end of it for me, and we will hopefully have somebody else in this seat. The mayor will appoint someone, I believe, as soon as possible. So it's been a slice, and we'll stick through the end of the year and hopefully get a few more things done, and that'll be it. So I just want to let everybody know as soon as I submitted the letter that that was going to be the end of that. Luckily, I'm very happy in the first ward. It's a nice place to be. So just thought I'd let you know.
I told you.
Mr. Marks.
Bob, I'd just like to thank you. I mean, I came on as a new alderman at the time, and you did help with that ward, and I'd like to thank you for that help publicly. I appreciate that help. Your knowledge is great about how the city works.
If there's,
and as an alderman from the first ward who probably disagreed with Bob as much as anyone on this council, I welcome him to the first ward. I hope that you will remain a friend, and I've learned every time I've disagreed with you, I've learned something, because you're always right at some level. Unfortunately, the issues usually have two rights and no wrongs.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn to closed session to discuss purchase or lease of real property for the use of the public body.
Second.
By Piper, seconded by Singer. Roll call votes in order. Mr. Clerk, complete the roll.
Greg Meladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
John Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Jordan Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilburg?
Aye.
Microphones are off.